I am unwilling to give up, that I will start over from scratch as many times as it takes to get where I want to be.
You just want to make sure you will get knocked down, but just make sure you don't get knocked out.
So your only choice should be go focus on what you can control.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Kara Golden Show. Join me each week for inspiring conversations with some of the world's greatest leaders. We'll talk with founders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and really some of the most interesting people of our time. Can't wait to get started. Let's go. Hi, everyone. It's Kara Golden with The Kara Golden Show, and I am so thrilled to have my next guest here. She is the founder and CEO of an incredible product that I absolutely love, and we have Carolyn Aronson here, who, as I said, is the founder and CEO of It's a 10 Hair Care. And after experimenting with a multi-product line and then doubling down on just one amazing product, the Miracle Leave-In, this serial entrepreneur quickly dominated the hair care space. And like I said, when you hear her story, you're going to agree with me that this is one phenomenal entrepreneur, and she has been so gracious with her time to come on and talk to us a little bit more about her story. She is one of the only female-owned professional hair care brands in the world. Her products are everywhere, lining the shelves in over 25,000 professional salons throughout the world, and I can't wait for you to hear more about her journey. So without further ado, welcome, Carolyn.
Thank you for having me, Kara. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So let's start at the beginning. I'd love for you to share with our listeners who aren't familiar with your company, what is It's a 10 Hair Care?
So It's a 10 Hair Care is a professional hair care brand that I started 18 years ago. I started off as a hairdresser behind the chair, then I migrated into salon ownership, and then I went into hair product manufacturing. So this is a brand that I started in 2006 and started off with one bottle that was very, very multifunctional. I was really trying to create simple, easy to use, multifunctional hair care that people could actually understand. After my frustrations behind the chair, I ended up really wanting to creating something different, a little bit outside of the box. And so that's what I set off to do. Every product does 10 things, and they really deliver these kind of miracle results. You pick up the bottle, you use it, and it works. So now we have over 80 SKUs, and we are a worldwide brand.
Wow. So 10 things. How did you come up with 10?
You know, first of all, the name of the company is It's a 10. So that little cliche phrase really kind of came from me working with the chemist. And when they would send me formulas, I literally would say to them, nope, it's a 6. We got to go back to the drawing board. We need to do this. We need to do that. And so eventually that name kind of caught on. And then from there, the marketing concept behind it, the multifunctionality of it, just kind of led into really bullet pointing multiple things that it does on the back of the bottle. And we figured 10 was a good number, hence the name.
So this didn't all happen overnight. Can you share a little bit more about Carolyn as a child? And when did you think you were going to go into hair, but then actually become an entrepreneur and then start a company, which is a whole other step. But I'd love to hear about Carolyn as a child.
Yes, it is. Yeah. So, you know, it was interesting. I think I always had that entrepreneurial bug, even as a child. I was always figuring out ways to build and earn, create, things like that. I was always a very creative person. So that creativity really led, I think, to an open mind and my passion for wanting to really build things and accomplish things was really, really young. I was 8 years old. I declared I wanted to be a hairdresser. I was 16 years old. I declared I wanted to be a salon owner. I was really young with a mission. I wavered a little bit. I thought I was going to be a nurse for a minute, but then I went right back to hair. So really, it was just the beauty industry was something that I knew I loved from a very young age. And it's really easy when you do what you love. So that's a big part, I think, of anybody who builds empires. I don't think I really set out to be, you know, a billionaire. I didn't set out to be somebody who created a worldwide brand. I set out to bring something new to an industry that I thought it was lacking. And I set out to really do what I love to do in life. And that's, you know, really create beauty. And I always say I just traded my scissors for bottles. I still make people look and feel beautiful. So I just kind of migrated into it as my career grew.
So was there anybody in particular who inspired you, who you really looked up to?
Oh, yeah. I mean, within my industry, the Paul Mitchell brand always was an inspiration for me because they really were the first ones to really go mass market within the beauty industry. So I always kind of thought, you know, I hope to be like them someday on every shelf everywhere. And they also raised the bar within the beauty industry. They started off with like a bottle of shampoo for $6 a bottle. And the whole world was like, oh my God, that's so expensive. I buy Suave for a dollar. And so they started, they really were one of the first brands to really kind of raise the bar in a mass sense to the public. So that was definitely one of the brands. But, you know, there were so many. Back in the day when I was a hairdresser, we had a lot of brands that were hairdresser owned and started. And so they weren't these big public conglomerates, these big, you know, owned by Procter & Gamble or L'Oreal. These were these little companies that were started by super creative hairdressers. And that's really the type of people that inspired me to have the guts to go out and basically start this from nothing and be up against some of the largest brands and companies in the world. So there were a lot. Rusk, I mean, I can name tons of big sexy hair, salon brands that were started by hairdressers, Tony and Guy. I mean, I can go on and on. These were all people that really inspired me. I've been doing hair for 38 years.
Wow.
So these little companies that came from nothing, these little trades that I think I can. That's the kind of mentality that inspired me.
I love it. We had Rita Hazan on our show a few months ago, and hers was Orbi. I mean, she worked for him, and it was, and I think for her, just watching him start a product and really made her start to think more about
Orbi
her product.
As well. I'm down here in Miami and actually hung out with him a few times. And yes, another total inspiration.
Yeah, I love that. So your backstory, I mean, you went from being a hairdresser to actually starting your own product. I mean, do you remember that day when you just decided, I'm going to go do this? Like, I mean, probably in between working on different people. I mean, did you just, like, how did you think about getting a manufacturer? How did you think about what you were about to embark on?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. It was not something I really anticipated. You know, behind the chair, I always thought, I wish they made it like this. I wish it would do that. I always thought of maybe creating like a brush line or something, you know, tools or things like that. Did I ever think I would create 80 products one day and have this massive brand? No. And what happened at that time is my partner, who was in sales of hair products, had gotten fired from a company. And he's like, come on, let's start our own line. And I thought about it and I'm like, why not? You know, let's do it. And so I kind of fell into it, but, and so, you know, he had more the sales and marketing concepts and mind. But yeah, as far as I created all the packaging, I created all the products, and some of the marketing as well, because I really understood how the consumer would interpret the products. So it kind of just happened. You know, that's why I always tell people in life, don't be upset if you don't know exactly where you're going or what you want to do in life, because sometimes it's a process that actually brings you to a point in your career where you might go off a path a little bit. You know what? It may not be such a bad thing. So yeah, that's how I ended up getting into hair product manufacturing. And the first company we had completely failed and we lost everything. So,
oh my gosh,
it was quite a learning experience.
So let's talk about that for a minute, because I think obviously people see you as this incredible entrepreneur with, you know, 80 SKUs and this amazing, amazing company that has products that are sold worldwide. But you had a failure, right? You just talked about, yeah. you know, and all of the lessons that you learned in there. So can you talk yeah. a little bit about that company?
Yeah, for sure. The name of the company was Link. We started off with 9 different products in the line, and it was a lot to start with. And I think that, you know, we learned a lot of hard lessons in the beginning. We did everything very a la carte. We had multiple vendors that we were trying to simultaneously pull together everything at one time and have it sit so perfectly on the shelf. We had a lot of quality control issues, QC issues. So, you know, we had labels that bubbled. We had sprayers that wouldn't spray. We had products that shot out of the bottles. I mean, we just had all different kinds of issues. And it wasn't that the products were necessarily really bad. It was that we just had a lot of simultaneous quality control issues all at once. And so, you know, we learned a lot of hard lessons. We learned that, you know, not always trying to do everything yourself is the best way to do it. You know, it's like, I always look at like Home Depot, right? You know, you walk into the store and everything's under one roof. Well, when I work with vendors, I try to find vendors like that, you know, come bring multiple talents to me that I can work with that are all under one roof, that'll help to, you know, keep things cohesive. That if you have quality control issues, they'll be more responsible for them and help you get through them rather than, you know, it's like, you know, when you have multiple ingredients coming together to make a great recipe, sometimes it's great to get the ingredients from one vendor, because if there's a bad ingredient in there, you need him to step up and really kind of help you get through. Maybe, you know, suddenly fly in some bottles or do whatever they got to do to help you get through those hard times in manufacturing. As we all know, manufacturing has a tremendous amount of cohesiveness to it. I always call it the meeting of the minds. And sometimes you can have really smart people over there and really smart people over there, but if they're not talking to each other and there's not cohesiveness behind it, you can really run into some major issues. So that was one of the things I think I learned through it all, is that don't try to do it all yourself and really try to work with vendors that, one, have the ability and the power to stand up and help you if things go awry, and two, ones that can maybe offer you multiple services under one roof. Your graphic design comes from your bottling company, and it's like, you know, you can get the whole package delivered to you. It's one-stop shop rather than trying, oh, I'm going to get a label over here, a cap over there.
And again, until you've actually done it, until you're actually in it, a lot of the stuff that you're talking about seems like, okay, I'm going to go piece these things together. But then, you know, and especially over the last couple of years, I can imagine if you're piecing things together, you've got to figure out gas price differences, right? Versus, I mean, there's lots of things that can come into play along the way that could interrupt.
Sure. Think about all the ingredients that go into one bottle.
Totally.
There are so many ingredients in one product. And for instance, we had an issue with silicones. There was a silicone factory in Europe that burnt up. The majority of the supply dissipated because of the tragic incident. And when that happened, at that same time, COVID was hitting, and most of the silicone was going to hospitals. It was going to, you know, things that needed this particular ingredient instead of the beauty industry. We were on the back burner. So, you know, when things like that happen, how are you going to get through them? And I mean, there's a million things like that in manufacturing. So you really need really good partners. We sourced things worldwide and we were able to find it, but how do you step up to the plate like that when shit hits the fan, so to speak? Happens all the time.
Absolutely.
So.
Well, and I think you're also talking about diversifying, you know, where your source comes from. When I hear that people have one source for something,
it's
very, very scary. So
I learned that lesson hard too.
Yeah.
Through the years. It took me 18 years, but yeah, you definitely, especially what's going on worldwide right now. Right. I mean, all you need is, you know, for suddenly one country to get really mad at the other, and they decide they're not going to supply you with something, and you're in predicament. So absolutely diversifying yourself as far as all of your sources. And there's a lot of, like I said, ingredients to the recipe. When you see that one bottle sitting on the shelf, there's a tremendous amount of it that goes into it. So you have to think about those things.
Attention, female business owners. Feel like you're struggling to find the balance between growing your company and keeping your sanity? Yes, it's not as uncommon as you may think. What you need is time away from the day-to-day grind of running your business so you can really think about that next phase and new ways. Plus, have some fun. It's time to work on your business instead of in your business. Have I got a great suggestion for you? A getaway where you can focus on you and your business, whether you have a current business or are still trying to figure out one. Listen up. It's the Brim's fourth annual retreat. You may have heard of the Brim, and if you haven't, you need to know about it. And this retreat is the perfect opportunity to set you on that path for growth. From April 30 through May 3rd, 2023, join 150 other female business owners and founders for an incredible three-day event in Austin. Led by business expert Sally Holder, this retreat will help you scale your business. Enjoy a jam-packed few days at the beautiful Proper Hotel, where you will be connecting and learning from others who are in your situation or people who have been in your shoes, with plenty of time to network. You will hear from inspiring speakers, and there will be some incredible VIP experiences too, including a dinner curated by Food Network star Ali Khan and a private happy hour in Willie Nelson's recording studio. If you're ready for something radically different that will set you on the path to growth, this event is for you. Visit www.growwiththebrim.com to learn more and get registered. Hurry though, as this event is sure to sell out and you don't want to miss out. Again, that's www.growwiththebrim.com. www.growwiththebrim.com to register now. One of the things that I also can imagine a few people are thinking about as you're talking, so you shut the company down. Then you got back up. How'd you do that?
Back up. Crazy. I look back and I think, am I completely inept to, I'm just like completely inept to fear or something. I must have been nuts, because we literally had $80,000. We split it and then we put it back into this new one bottle. The fact that we even thought we'd get anywhere with one bottle, I mean, usually you have to have at least a couple SKUs, right? But we had this one bottle. We bought closeout bottles. We got discontinued, you know, pumps. We had, you know, I mean, we just pieced this thing together and launched it. And we were just all gung-ho and excited to do it again. And I look back and I think, oh my God, we were crazy. But when you have that passion and you have that love for what you do, I think that it just comes natural. And I do realize I do have a sense of, I think any entrepreneur literally has an oblivion to fear. They have to have a certain oblivion to fear. It is the only way that you kind of get through some of the things that you encounter, especially in the beginning. And so I really look at it as just kind of having this mindset of not looking at it as a roadblock, but looking at it as a challenge and how do I overcome it and getting creative about how I do it. So that's, I think, is how we continued on. We just figured, okay, that didn't work out. Let's move on and figure out how we can make it work.
Your main product that you are talking about, the Miracle Leave-In, if somebody is not familiar with your company, what's so special about that product? And what were you trying to do when, I mean, I view your company as a mission-based company that has a purpose, right? You are solving a problem for many people that are trying to change something about their hair, right? And so talk to me a little bit about that.
Yes. So that particular product, you know, within our industry, we have what I call golden formulas. And this is definitely a golden formula within the industry. It's a formula that can probably be around 40, 50 years from now and still be an amazing seller. That's the level that it's at. And so I really set out to create a product that was not only multifunctional, but could be used on many different type of hair types and really create an instant result. And I say what I ended up creating was a third step to every woman's morning or man's morning, or really a hairdresser's step when they actually do hair. So it's shampoo, conditioner, and miracle leave-in product. And what happens is it truly transforms the hair instantly, creates slip, shine, helps the hair get healthier, brings back its own natural elasticity. So listen, within 15, 30 days, you've transformed that head of hair, and people, they're going out and they're getting the compliments. People are saying to them, oh my God, what did you do to your hair? It looks healthy. It looks shiny. I'm a firm believer in healthy hair is hair that really will do anything you choose it to do that day, whether it's straight, curly, whatever, however you're styling it that day. If it's a healthy head of hair, it's going to behave better. And people are noticing that instantly when they start using it. We sell over 17 million bottles a year of this product.
Amazing.
And I now have it in 8 different versions. I build entire collections around them. So we have it for coily hair. We have it for blonde hair. We have it for chemically treated hair. We have it for the deep condition. I mean, all these different versions that really kind of add the little touch to them. We have it for light hair, for fine hair. So people who would never think about conditioning their hair because it's fine, they can use my products. I think all my years behind the chair, using thousands of products, touching thousands of heads has really given me that 10,000-hour rule on how to know how to create products that work. And so this is definitely a golden formula within the industry. We've just been really blessed with it organically growing because I didn't have the big budgets. I had to get really creative and how I built this brand and connected with people that was, they were just organically in love with the product itself. And they are to this day.
Well, I think it starts with the product and having a great product. And you've obviously created that, but then it also takes a special founder, entrepreneur. It takes the right team to actually build the company too. What have you enjoyed most about being an entrepreneur?
I think, like you mentioned, the team is a major, major part. The people you surround yourself with, you know, in my company, we almost become like this little family, and the camaraderie we have and the end goal we're all working towards. And when we achieve it, you know, I had someone who worked for me, the other day just say to me, you know what, I'm so happy to be on a winning team. And, you know,
I love that.
I've worked for a lot of different companies. And you know what, it's when things are moving great and flowing and everyone's creating and everyone's helping to create this end kind of result and it works. And I'll tell you, I also am a firm believer in doing not only business with a purpose for beauty, but business with a purpose with giving back, not just a business to consume, not just a business to say, hey, I want to make myself rich kind of a thing. I not only do I like making people look and feel beautiful, but I also really enjoy having the tool to be able to make a difference and give back to the world because of the creations, you know, that people have embraced and loved. So I'm a firm believer in this kind of karmic circle that happens. So like a little example, Christina Applegate, way back 2007, I think I just started the company, publicly spoke about my brand on People Magazine for free. 10 top things she loved, miracle leave-in product. And I connected with her through Twitter back then. It just started. And I'm like, I said to her, I'm the owner of the company. I'm so thankful that you were so generous just to mention my company. And I want to give back to you. I created a breast cancer awareness bottle. I made 1 million bottles and they sold out within 2 weeks. And I donated proceeds to her breast cancer foundation. So I believe in really karmic things like that. And things like that help build a company because it flows, you know?
No, I absolutely love that. When you thought about distribution as well. So you started, what was your first salon that you were in, that you had your products in?
So we were fortunate enough to get into Beauty Systems Group, which is a Sally Beauty Holdings professional sector of Sally Beauty Holdings. So they took our product on because they had lost L'Oreal at the time.
Oh, wow.
And they needed a product and they were like, all right, we'll give it a try. And one of the head guys there tried it. He's like, this is a pretty cool product. We'll put it on the shelves. And we gave out literally millions of bottles the first couple of years. That's how I built this company. I gave out free samples to hairdressers and the hairdressers loved it. And so because I didn't have big marketing budgets or anything else, so I kind of came in the back door. And you know, that was the beginning. And then in 2017, I became the sole owner of the company. And that's been a really interesting journey because I bought my partner out. I basically had to kind of start over and really talking about distribution. He was mainly sales and distribution and I was developing. Well, once I owned the product, I was able to really incorporate my concepts for sales and distribution, which were quite different than his. So I started over. I expanded. I went worldwide. I actually expanded throughout the United States. I took on Salon Centric as well as BSG. So yeah, I did it really, really different. And I kind of broke a lot of rules and it worked. So we have more than doubled in the last 5 years since I've taken it over.
So when you think about rules, like what were the rules that you weren't supposed to break that you did?
Well, let's put it this way. I think previously the brand was maybe a little bit leery about possibly stepping on toes or, you know, it was definitely more, you know, it's all about how much kind of power you have in distribution and how you can actually expand that distribution. So as we were young and growing, we had to be careful. We wanted to keep our distributors happy and keep that relationship, you know, flowing. As we became a little bit bigger, I think we didn't really come from a position of power like we should have. And as you grow, you have that power and you have the ability to really cross distribute as well as, you know, the way I looked at it is, I had built this company from nothing and I decided I was going to drive my own bus and I was going to be behind the wheel and I was going to decide how this company was going to be run and how it was going to be marketed. And I got really kind of unique ways of distribution. I expanded. I started e-commerce, my own e-commerce platform, which is now massive. We had nothing in 2017. So I just really did a lot of different things that I think at that time brands were a little bit afraid to do. And thank God I did it because during COVID, it kept my company alive.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And your site, your online site is terrific. So it's, it's really,
Thank
really
you.
Great. Well, I can't leave this podcast without mentioning that you just had your fifth child, which yes. you and I were talking about
yes.
right before. Congratulations. I absolutely love that.
I was fortunate enough not to have to birth them all. So the first three I didn't birth, but they're still mine. We have a blended family and it's a blessing. What can I say? I think it's great that 50 is the new 30. and you know, in today's world, I mean, it's much more doable, I think, than in the past. And so I hope that if anything, I inspire women not to give up, not to be afraid, and to make those choices when you're ready for them, not because you have to, you know.
No, yeah. I absolutely love that. What do you hope she knows about you? I have four children of my own, and I think about that a lot. I share with many entrepreneurs and friends of mine that I think it's no matter what we do or how many awards we get or how well known we are, right? You want your children to know, you know, who you are and what you care about and
yes.
and why you're doing this. And what would you
yes.
say?
You know, I hope my legacy will speak for itself. I try to live by example. You know, I've learned one thing in life. If you try to lecture your kids too much, it's like you say black, they say white.
So
if
true.
Anything, I hope to show her really what life should be and how you should be here trying to make a difference in this world, no matter what you do. But ultimately, I think what I hope she gets to learn and see is that if anyone sets their mind to something, they can achieve it, you know, especially girl power all the way. I'm all about girl power.
I love that.
And so, yeah, I mean, if anything, I hope that, that she gets to understand. I have a 15-year-old daughter as well. And I'm really kind of, I'm starting to really see the seeds that I planted grow. So I think that, you know, the best thing you can do is live by example. And, you know, I'm in real estate for fun and I flip homes and someone once asked me, so how are you teaching your kids to do this? And I said, I'm not really lecturing them or teaching them. You know, I'm showing them by example and I kind of teach them, get ready to move because we're always flipping houses.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't get attached to anything too much, you know, so just kind of, you'd be surprised how much they pick up when they're around you and how they end up kind of just learning by seeing. So,
well, I love that. And you are so inspirational, just everything that you've done and all of your resilience and how you've gotten back up. And I'm so honored that you agreed to come and share your story with us.
I'm so honored to be here as well. I'm so impressed by obviously what you've accomplished and I hope we get to chat offline sometime because I'm sure we have a lot of stories to share.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again and thanks everybody for listening and definitely some great insights here that you've given us, Carolyn. So thank you so much for the conversation and we will put all of the links in the podcast as well. Yes, thank you again.
Thank you, Kara.
Thanks all for listening to this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. And I want to thank all of our guests and our sponsors. And finally, our listeners. Keep the great comments coming in. And one final plug. If you have not read or listened to my book, Undaunted, please do so. You will hear all about my journey, including founding, scaling, and building the company that I founded, Hint. We are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Thanks everyone for listening and goodbye for now. Before we sign off, I want to talk to you about fear. People like to talk about fearless leaders, but achieving big goals isn't about fearlessness. Successful leaders recognize their fears and decide to deal with them head on in order to move forward. This is where my new book, Undaunted, comes in. This book is designed for anyone who wants to succeed in the face of fear, overcome doubts, and live a little undaunted. Order your copy today at undauntedthebook.com and learn how to look your doubts and doubters in the eye and achieve your dreams. For a limited time, you'll also receive a free case of Hint Water. Do you have a question for me or want to nominate an innovator to spotlight? Send me a tweet at Kara Golden and let me know. And if you like what you heard, please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. You can also follow along with me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn at Kara Golden. Thanks for listening.